to the answers that are on your heart. This is the last program of 2012, and we know that a lot of times throughout the year, people usually have a pretty good feeling about the upcoming year, and things are changing in their lives and blessings that they want to happen. And there's no better time than now to be able to really ask yourself if you're going to be committed to serving the Lord and trying to find out what the Lord wants you to do. And the new year isn't always the right time. Every single day that we wake up is the right time. Every single day that God allows us to have another 24 hours to live is the right time to give our lives to Him, and we want to encourage you in that. And you can call in your questions to find out how you can do that, and do that according to His word and His will. If you dial 308-9564, that's the number here at the station, to call in your questions to the program here. You can have your questions either written down and brought in to us, or you can ask your question live over the air. If you want to ask your question live over there, we ask two things. One, that you would give us your name, so that way we can be polite and address you by name. And also, secondly, we ask that you turn your radio down so that there's no confusing echo or anything of that nature. So those are only two things we ask if you want to go live. That's 308-9564 to call in your question, and that's here at the station. We also have a text line available for you to text in your questions at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the number where you can text in your questions. And we will be happy to go to God's word to see what God says about the answers that are to the questions that are on your heart. Maybe something that you heard in your worship services today, or maybe something that you've been studying lately, or came across a passage of scripture that you have a question about and you're not really sure what it means, or maybe there's some more scriptures that could help you out with that. Here, that's where we pray that we are helpful in aiding you in that. 308-9564 is the number here at the station to call in your questions. 308-9564.
The lines are now available, so don't miss out on this opportunity to go ahead and get in your question right now as we let the Bible speak. This program is for the intent of letting God answer the question through His Word, because in God's Word we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him. And 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 makes that perfectly clear. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 says, we have been furnished for every good, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. So God's word is where the answer is, but the question, well, that's in your heart and that's in your mind. And so we're asking right now. There's one line now available. Go ahead and call 308-9564. All of the phone numbers we give are area code 843. The reason we let you know that is because not only is this program available to you, but it is also available to those that are outside this radio broadcast area. They can go to our website, and they can also tune in through the live stream button. So go ahead and let your friends, neighbors, or people you know in other parts of the country or the world know right now that they can tune in by going to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, BibleAlone.com. They can tune in that way, or they can just, if they have a smartphone, they can tune in through TuneIn app, an app that they can download and also tune in through their smartphone as well. Either way, let them know that it's area code 843 before the numbers. Now, the live voice line is 308-9564. The text line, if they have a cell phone, then they can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283, and we can go to the Bible for the answer to the question that's on their mind. As you probably know, this month we have been giving out free material, a DVD, and a Bible reading schedule. And I have heard talk of some folks that on the Bible reading schedule, they wish it wasn't a seven-day-a-week schedule because of our busy lifestyles. And so I looked around and was able to find a five-day reading schedule. If you're interested in just going through and reading the Bible 5 days a week, you can go to our website and download that at any time you would like. It is there, free, available. Look under Bible materials and you'll see that. You can download it, print it out, and follow that Bible reading schedule to go through the Bible in chronological order, somewhat chronological order, and thus be able to read through the Bible in 1 year in that method. And that's at our website, which is www.BibleAlone.com. We are more than happy to for you to avail yourselves of that. Then also, we also want you to know that we're going to go ahead and offer the DVDs again today, the last day for this, the last day Sunday of this year. So go ahead and call the operator standing by at 553-5157, and we'll send you the Bible Correspondence Course plus a free gift, which is a DVD you can watch and study on your television set. You can pause it, look up the verses, make certain whether those things are so, and be able to study and know what God would have us to do before we meet Him face to face. Again, that number for the free DVD along with the Bible Correspondence Course is 553-5157. We're here to serve you. All that we offer is always free of charge. We'll never ask for money. We'll never ask for a contribution or a handout in any way, because we consider it our privilege to serve our God. He gave up everything in order to redeem us by the shedding of His blood. So what should we do? Well, we should be willing to do whatever it takes to help you also to get ready to meet God face to face. So don't miss out on this opportunity. Get the Bible Correspondence Course and the DVD today, 553-5157. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. Go ahead and enroll and receive that information absolutely free. One more time, that number throughout this broadcast is 553-5157. So we'll be glad to send that DVD for you or to you free of charge. Now, we already have the questions coming in, so let's go ahead and get to your questions. And by the way, the lines are now available for you. The next question, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak.
We have Elizabeth calling in this question. Elizabeth, thank you for calling in your question. Thank you for listening to the program. And Elizabeth's question says, what does the Bible say? Who does the Bible say picks the elders of the church? Well, that's a great question, Elizabeth. And your answer would be found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. If you want to know who picks the elders of the church, here is your answer. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Give me a second while I turn there right quick, please. And so here we are at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Who picks the elders of the church? In verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, it says, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all of the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So we see the Holy Spirit is the one who makes overseers. Now, I want to make mention of the context of this passage here. The context, starting in verse 17, Paul is writing a letter to the elders of the church in Ephesus. We see that in verse 17 of chapter 20. So this letter is what Paul is sending to the elders in the church who are at the church of Ephesus. And so from verse 18 on toward, I believe, the end of the chapter, yes, from 18 on to the end of the chapter is a letter that Paul sends to the church of the, not to the whole church, but to the elders of the church of Ephesus. And he specifically says in verse 28 that the Holy Spirit made them overseers. Now, the question is, how does the Holy Spirit make overseers? Well, that is answered in 1 Timothy chapter 3, as well as in Titus chapter 1. See, the Holy Spirit gives, through His Word, qualifications, you might call them, that we have here. We see that the Holy Spirit expects elders, or overseers, pastors, shepherds, bishops, all those words mean the same thing. They are to take care of and oversee the flock of God's people. So all those words, elders, bishops, pastors, overseers, shepherds, those words mean the same thing. There's five different words that people usually get get acquainted with, but they're all the same. They all really mean the same thing. And once again, that's the Holy Spirit, how he makes them is he shows a list of qualifications that they should be able to meet. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, really. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 13, and as well as Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. So hopefully that's been helpful to you, Elizabeth, as well as anyone else who may have had that question about elders. Also, I would like to make mention of 1 Peter chapter 5, the first five verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. That also talks about elders. So that was those scriptures again. Once again, was Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 about who makes the overseers, the Holy Spirit does. And then you have 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 13 and Titus chapter 1 verses 5 through 11 that shows the qualifications of the elders, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. We have one line available. Go ahead and call in your question. If you have a question about God's Word, anything that pertains to life and godliness, you can call 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number here at the station to reach us. 308-9564. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. 725-9283.
So don't miss out on getting your question answered today on today's broadcast while the program is being kicked off. So don't miss out. The lines kind of fill up before the end of the broadcast. I would like to remind you also before we go to break that we're offering the DVD free of charge. If you are interested in that along with the Bible Correspondence Course, then don't miss out on the opportunity to get that in today's broadcast. During today's broadcast by calling 553-5157. We notice the both lines are full right now, and so the one that is calling and letting the phone ring, just hold on, continue to let it ring. We will be able to get to you in just a moment. So don't miss out. Go ahead. If it times out on you, just hit redial and you'll get back through. It's time for us to go to break. So while we're at break, continue to text in your questions and call in your questions, 308-9564. Or the text line is 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Once again, we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon. We are back live. It is December 30th, and it's about 1:46 p.m. This is a live call-in question and answer radio program, Let the Bible Speak. And we are here to give you answers to the questions that are on your heart with book, chapter, and verse. It is our earnest prayer that we do not get in God's way at all when answering these questions, and that you're not taking these answers as our answers, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, when we give you book, chapter, verse from God's Word. But the lines are open, and you can call in your questions. 308-9564 is the line here at the station to reach us, 308-9564, or you can text in your questions to 725-9283. 725-9283.
We have Mary calling in this afternoon. Mary, thank you so much for listening and tuning in and a desire to know what God says in His Word. That says volumes about you that you would take the opportunity to call in your question. And we're honored that you have called in and that you're listening today. Mary's question is, what does the Bible say about three working in the field, then says about two working in the field? Well, Mary, I looked in the Bible, and all I see is a reference to two working in the field, not three working in the field. Now, if I miss something, you be sure to let me know the verse that you may be referring to as far as three working in the field. Now, the context in which that is elaborated on is in Luke chapter 17 and also in Matthew chapter 24, which is in the midst of judgment. Language and judgment teaching, God teaching about judgment. And in these passages, he's talking about that when judgment comes, there will be no warning. It will be one place it says as a thief in the night, it will take place. Here it talks about two working in the field. One will be taken, the other left. And in the previous verse, it says two, verse 35, Two women working or grinding together. One will be taken, the other left. And so it's talking about the suddenness and the inability to anticipate and prepare as far as timing and counting down toward that judgment day. And thus God is telling us to be ready, for he comes in a time that we know not. And then coupled with that, the suddenness of which we can leave this life. What is our life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. James chapter 4, verse 14. And so we've got to be ready, because he will come, this judgment, this accountability to our Creator will occur in a time that we do not anticipate, and we must be ready. So that judgment, when we stand before God, we must continually be ready for that, not just try to plan and count down and get all our wild oats sowed before that time comes. Well, there is no such thing as that with God. Because even if he delays his coming, then our last heartbeat may be at the time when we did not anticipate it. So we've got to be ready now. And the way to be ready is for us to know what God expects of us and do what he says in order to honor him. During Bible class this morning, there was a question about that in a difficult passage that we were studying. And the whole point that God was making in the passage was that we have got to be ready, because we just do not know how to direct our own steps. We have no clue. It is not within man that walketh to direct his own steps, Proverbs 14:12. And God's ways are above our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And so Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 bring out. So we've got to be ready. And we can't figure this out ourselves. We've got to listen to God. We've got to follow his word. And then when we stand before him, if we've done his will, then he will be able to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." So how are we going to know if we've been faithful? Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by, yeah, you got it, hearing by the word of God. And so thus we have to let God speak in our life, let the Bible speak, so that we know how to show ourselves approved to him. Thanks, Mary, so very much. And God does warn us in that passage to be ready for that day when it comes. Now, the lines are now open, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. And also, we have text. If you have a cell phone, you would rather text us rather than a verbal call. You can text us at 725-9283. Also, to remind those that have just tuned in, we're offering the DVD again today, the last time for this year. And so don't miss out on getting this in the mail by calling the operator standing by. And at the top of the hour, we'll give you the phone number for that and how to get the DVD and the Bible Correspondence Course. And by the way, those of you that have never taken the Bible Correspondence Course, those of you that never received this, are you aware that there's a lot, a whole lot, in God's Word that you may never have heard before? And some of those things very well may keep you from pleasing God, keep you from heaven. And the devil would love to keep us so blind that we do not see the answers, the true answers in God's Word, so that we will be pleasing to him and him alone. So, don't you owe it to yourself to know what God's truth says, not what man-made truth or those that fit into the box that man has created? Don't you want to show yourself approved to God? Then why not enroll in this course? That number is 553-5157. Go ahead and enroll and get the DVD. You will find answers you may have never seen before. Chuck, you have a question?
Yes, I had a question, a text question. Their number, last three digits, is 597. And this question is about seed, the word seed. It says, is the seed, as used in the Bible, ever speaking about money? Every verse that some use to refer to seed as money really seems to refer to the seed as being the gospel. Well, that's a very interesting observation that you have there, Texter, and I appreciate your heart and wanting to actually know know the truth about what God says about this. And yes, there are some many, many quote-unquote popular people or teachers or evangelists or whatever the case may be that use this word of seed talking about money and the Lord blessing your financial gain and calling it seed. Some even use the term plant your seed and assign it, you know, as far as giving a contribution and make sure that it means this or is going towards that. But as far as what we look at the scriptures, I do not believe that anywhere in the scriptures seed is ever referring to money. Correct me if I'm wrong, and if there's any caller out there that knows of a verse of scripture that seed is talking about money, please, you by all means, I'd consider you a friend if you showed that to us. But from the search and from the search that I just ran, as well as a recollection from memory throughout the study of the scriptures, do not ever really see the word seed referring to money. We see it in the parable of the sower that talks about the seed as far as the sower sowing seed, but that is the gospel, just like you were talking about, Texter, that seed was referring to the gospel. So in the parable of the sower, that's not talking about money, it's talking about the gospel. And as well as Jesus gave the illustration of having faith as a mustard seed that grows, so that seed is talking about faith. And then if we look over in Galatians chapter 3, in verse 28, or before the last verse of the chapter, we see that the point is being made to close up in this that Paul was making here, the Holy Spirit was inspiring Paul to make, that says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So in that case, it's talking about descendants or lineage. And so that is the things that we see in the scriptures, that the word seed is usually either referring to a lineage as far as descendants or ancestors. That's one. Or it's referring to faith. That's two. Or most importantly, and usually most consistently, the gospel. So those are the things. And once again, we appreciate that text. Appreciate that question. The lines are open. We have one line available, 308-9564. 308-9564, as well as you can text in your question, 725-9283. I believe we have a live caller by the name of Jose.
Jose,
Jose, mm-hmm. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
How can we help you?
Yes.
I have a question, sir. I was discussing, I don't remember what verse or chapter is this, but I read it, and it said that Peter sold or exchanged his cloak for a weapon. Now, I asked some pastors about this question, if we, believers, should buy weapons to defend ourselves in these last days. Some of them said no.
You need to turn your radio down, if you don't mind, because there is an echo.
See that? Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Some pastors said no, that we should depend on the word of God and pray and fast and so on. But that's not what it said in the Bible. It said Peter exchanged his cloak for
a
weapon.
Well, later on, after he bought the weapon, and he actually used it in the garden when Jesus was when he was arrested, and that he told him to put up his sword, because he that lives by the sword will die by the sword.
By the sword, yes, sir.
And then John 18:36 says, "My kingdom is not of this world, for if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. Therefore,
yes,
my
sir.
Kingdom is not from hence." And so there he shows that the kingdom of God is not going to be about fighting physically. Yes, it's a spiritual kingdom, and it's a spiritual battle. And so most of that battle takes place right in between our head and our heart.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, I appreciate that very much, Pastor. I thank you.
Thank you, Jose. We sure do appreciate your question, and thank you for listening.
Yes, sir, and you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you again.
All right.
Again, the number is 308-9564. I think that opens up a line, and so you can get through with your question, no problem. And so let's go ahead and let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. It's time for us to take a break. We do want you to know, while we are at break, you can continue to call in your question. The question line, verbal line, is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Remember, we're offering the DVD again today. And those of y'all that are still wanting the Bible reading schedule, that is supposed to start in a couple of days, if you would rather have a 5-day schedule rather than a 7-day-a-week schedule, you can get that from our website at www.biblealone.com. www.biblealone.com, and go to Bible Materials, and I believe it's the last thing on the list. It is a 5-day-a-week schedule in somewhat chronological order as well. And so you're welcome to that, but we can't give you the DVD over the Internet, so we'll just send that in the mail to you. So just go ahead and call this number, this 553-5157, and we will send that to you free of charge if you've not already received it. Now, if you've already got the Bible course, the DVD, and all this, then just give us your question. And then you can call that question in at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
We are back live, and once again, I want to just extend our happiness and appreciation for everyone who is calling in their questions and everyone who is attentively following along and listening. We really really appreciate that, and we like to just continue to do the best we can to let God's Word give you the answers to your question, and not us, and not giving you our opinions or anything like that. We just want to, it is our earnest prayer to let God's Word speak and let God's Word answer the questions, that hopefully you are hearing God's words. When we give you the answer to a question, many times, sometimes not to sound funny or anything, many times people will call in questions, and we'll give them book, chapter, and verse for the answer. And sometimes they'll still say, well, I need you to explain it a little bit more, or I want to know what you think, or something of that nature. And we really kind of hesitant on doing that, because we really just like to give book, chapter, and verse, and let you make your own life application about God's Word. And so we just want to be earnest in our attempts to let God's Word give you the answers to your question, as opposed to hearing us. Hopefully you're not hearing Ricky or Chuck or Nick or Steve or anyone else that you may hear, but we are trying our best to give you the Word of God. So with that being said, please, the lines are open, so please go ahead, call in your question if you have a question. 308-9564 is the number here at the station, 308-9564, or also you can text in your question at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line number. Also, we have a website. Our website is www.biblealone.com. As Ricky mentioned earlier, we have the 5-day Bible reading on the website. It's down. You can download it and have that as far as reading the Bible throughout the year on a 5-day-a-week schedule. Many of us have 5-day work weeks, and so it would probably be prudent to many of you to keep with your work schedule as far as 5 days a week. So that's why we have that. And you can go to our website and get that, as well as many other Bible materials and popular subjects that we go through many times. Sometimes the radio program gets lit up with many questions on the same type of subject. And so we have some of those things on the website, some of those harder subjects, so you can study a little bit in depth, more detail. We have those on the website too, as well as old programs, of course, throughout the past, I believe, 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, and four years. So we have so those old programs you can download and listen to at your leisure, and be able to have your Bible and hopefully a pen and paper and something like that to go over the scriptures and write them down and look at them and study them for yourself. So that's on www.biblealone.com. That's www.biblealone.com. And once again, everything we offer is absolutely free. We're just trying to help you with your walk with God. And with that, once again, the lines are open. 308-9564 is the number here at the station. That's 308-9564 is the number here at the station to call in your questions. Or you can text in your questions to 725-9283. 725-9283.
We have Maurice this afternoon. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening and being interested in what God's Word says. His question is it okay for women to wear pants and men to wear skirts? Well, I would like to just comment on that from the various cultures around the world, but I'm not going to do that. What I'll do is just let the Bible speak. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation." Propriety means common sense, the idea of it just being proper, and moderation with not, and then he explains, not with braided hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And so there it talks about modesty and to where that they're not to be sticking out. They're not supposed to be dressed with an image of, look at me. No, that's not supposed to be the thing at all. And so does it mention wearing pants and wearing skirts? No, the Bible doesn't say anything. As far as the New Testament, doesn't say anything about that. But what it does emphasize is that we are to look, behave godly. And so cultures may interpret that differently throughout the world. But there's what God says, that is supposed to be modest, is supposed to have propriety, to where that they're not going to be an eye candy. Yes, I said that, eye candy. We're not supposed to be eye candy. We're supposed to be able to look godly, and for everyone to interpret that that person looks like a godly person. And I think that would be true for both male and female, even though this passage does specifically mention women. That was, again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. If you want to reference a similar passage, you can also look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, 1 through 5, actually. And there it speaks of the adornment as well, that they are to display godliness as well. Thank you, Maurice, for your question. That's very interesting, very good question, and it's been a while since someone has asked that question. Again, that's 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 and 10. The numbers, if you have a question, you can call it in right now at 308-9564. The lines are both available, so go ahead and call 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
We have a caller who's texting in this question. This question says, was the man Jacob wrestled with a messenger of God or a prophet in Genesis 32, chapter 32, verses 22 through 30? If not, why did he ask for a blessing? Who was he, and does the Bible speak of him? Well, looking at this section here in Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 through 30, it seems as if, he makes mention multiple times that this was a messenger of God. Starting in verse 22, the context starts, and then verse 24, it says, "Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn." And then it continues on and comes down to where this man asked Jacob his name in verse 27. And verse 28, it says, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." And then Jacob asked him his name, and he said, "Why is it that you asked about my name?" And he blessed him there. So this man that Jacob wrestled with blessed him. And Jacob called the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So it seems as if this was a messenger of God that Jacob wrestled with. Looking at the context, I'm not 100% sure if there's anywhere else this is mentioned or referenced. Ricky, if there's anything you have in recollection?
Just a messenger of God. One place I believe he was referred to as an angel. One time, a messenger of God himself, the Lord himself, which agents of the Lord sometime were called the Lord, and so because they were speaking on the behalf of God. And so sometimes it's very difficult to know if actual deity was involved. For example, the burning bush, at one place is called an angel, another place is called, he's called the Lord as he spoke through the burning bush. And so sometimes it's hard to differentiate between those, but it certainly was not a man. This was an agent of God, and representative of God in this process. So, very good question.
All right, thank you, Ricky. And this the same caller actually texts in another question, and it says, "Is it fornication, if a spouse divorces their spouse and later they have an intimate marital relationship with each other after they've been divorced, is that fornication? Well, the word fornication is intimate marital relationship with someone who you are not married to. And as far as the only way that would be permissible in God's sight is if you were joined together, if you were married. And so we see that someone who you used to be married to, if you divorce, well, God hates divorce. That's just a truism. That's just something that we know about God's character, that He hates divorce. So it's not necessarily something that it would be okay, and especially concerning the marital relationship is into that. So once again, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. It says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers." See, he mentions the word fornicators, and then he mentions the word adulterers. See, it's he made them separate. It's two different things. And so as far as someone cheating on their spouse, that would be the adulterer. And as far as fornicating, that is a sexual practice outside of a rightly married couple. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and also verse 10. The numbers here at the station, number here is 308-9564. That's 308-9564 to reach us here at the station to call in your question. Or you can text in your question like that the last caller did. And that text number is 725-9283, 725-9283.
Again, the lines are now available, so if you want to go ahead and call in your question, this is a good time to get through, 308-9564. And you can, that's the voice line for the questions, or again, as I mentioned, you can use our text line, which is your cell phone, 725-9283. We had a caller call in a question last week that we were not able to get to, and we apologize for that, but it was a very powerful question, one of which we should not overlook at all. And here is their question. Their phone digits are 295, the last three digits of their phone. It says, "I have been married for 10 years. My husband is always verbally and sometimes physically abusive, and he thinks he is never wrong, but I am always at fault. Please help." Well, I wish there was something that we could do to rescue you from that situation, but as far as what the Bible says, if a home is set up like God says a family should be set up, then that would not be taking place at all. And I would direct you to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, all the way through the end of the chapter. It speaks of the role of the wife and the role of the husband. Now, the husband is under command there to love his wife as himself and to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There is the way that we should behave in the roles that God has given us as husband and wife. And if we behave that way, then we will have a home like God intended for it to have. And what's amazing about that passage is it is a parallel to Christ in the church. And so there are churches out there in foul shape. Well, just like there are homes out there in terrible shape. And because of that, the devil is winning as far as gaining momentum and getting people further away from God, because there's no reference point. If you were to decide you wanted to go somewhere, the first thing you'd have to decide or figure out is, where are you? And if you don't know where you're at, you do not know how to get to where you want to go, because there's no reference point. And so the reference point in that passage for how the church and Christ should be intertwined is the home between the husband and wife. Well, if people have not had that kind of home that God designed for us to have, then it's hard for them to understand their relationship with Christ too. And so, unfortunately, that is the case. So there's another passage in 1 Peter chapter 3. It talks about how that a wife may be married to a unbeliever. And it says in that passage that she may win her husband without a word by her manner of life, while he beholds your chaste conversation, your chaste behavior, your manner of life, coupled with fear, that he may be won by the wife. Likewise, you wives, this is 1 Peter 3 and verse 1, likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by respect, do not let it be do not let your beauty be the outward adorning of the arranging of hair, wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, which is incorruptible, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. It goes on talking about further. And then starting with verse 7, talks about the husband, the way the husband is supposed to behave. And so those are hallmark passages of how to have this taste of heaven here on earth. So I'm sorry that you don't have that kind of experience, but it's possible. I was raised myself from a very, I'm trying to think of the right word here, let's say lively, in a negative way, home. And I was able to turn that around simply by just erasing, trying to forget everything that I experienced in my upbringing, and then build my home after God's design. Ma'am, it is not too late for you. And all of you that have homes that are traumatic right now, it is not too late, but it starts with committing your ways to serve the Lord. Why not do that? Why not go ahead and enroll in a Bible correspondence course, which will be the first step? And we'll send this to you free of charge. And so we'll be able to let the Bible speak there. You can study it anytime you want, night or day, and be able to learn from God's word on what needs to be addressed, how that I might be better pleasing to God, and thus be able to get the first step, at least, going in the right direction that I may honor God. So we're going to give you information on that. There is an operator standing by right now. Please know this is free. We will never ask for a handout. Please put away your money. Put away your pocketbooks. Do not send us a contribution. Let us send you treasure directly from God in His Word so that you may experience a taste of heaven here on earth. Why not enroll in this course today? We'll also throw in a DVD today as our gift to you, to show our appreciation for your decision to be able to let God be the front and center, the number one goal in your life is to please God. So here's the information on that. Don't miss out on this. You very well will learn things you may have never heard before. So go ahead and call the operator standing by. Here are the details on it. If you've already got the course, go ahead and call in your question. Right now the lines are available, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We sure do hope that you take advantage of the correspondence course, and we'll be going to throw in a DVD today as well. And so don't miss out on this. It's not very often that we offer this, but we are glad to send this to you as our gift this month, that we're sending out this DVD. And I hope you will look at it and study. And then give us a call if we can assist you in your obeying the Lord and serving Him in spirit and in truth and in according to His truth. So don't miss out on that. Again, there's an operator standing by. This is the last time this year this is going to happen. So call the operator at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call in right now. The voice line is 308-9564. I see the operator here is stretching, about to fall asleep, so don't you dare let him fall asleep. Go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. Or if you want to text us, you can do that. You can communicate that way as well, 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. Chuck, you have a question?
Yes, I have an interesting question with the festivities and practices the last week. This person's question, texting in this, is their last three digits is 081. Thank you for listening to the program, and thank you for texting in your question. This person's question says, what does the Bible say about celebrating Christmas? Well, texter, the answer to your question is nothing. The Bible says nothing at all about celebrating Christmas. This might come as a shock to some people. The Bible says nothing at all about celebrating Christ's birth. What the Bible does tell us to do, what God's Word does tell us to do, is remember his death on the first day of the week as we partake of the Lord's Supper, Acts 20 and verse 7, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse mentioned that. So we are told to celebrate and remember his death, but nothing about his birth. But as far as holidays as a whole, there's two passages we want to look at. The first is in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to read the New King James first, and then I'm going to read the Old King James, because a different word is used, and I just want to point out the difference between the two. So the New King James says, once again, this is Colossians 2, verse 16, says, therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So that's what the New King James says. But however, I like reading the Old King James specifically for this question. The Old King James says, once again, this is Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, let no man therefore judge you in regard to meat or drink, or in respect of any holy day. We call them holidays. But see here, it says holy day. Holy day, holiday. You just change the Y to I. Same thing. Same idea. Or of a new moon or Sabbath. So Sabbath days. So that we should not judge one another in observance of a holiday or anything like that. And specifically, we also can make mention of Romans chapter 14. Talks about this exact thing. It doesn't say holy day or holiday, but it's talking about different days and observing days. In Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 5, it says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. And he who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and give God thanks. For none of us lives for himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. It seems like the point he's making here is, don't make this a big deal, people. Some people are going to esteem other days more than the other, and some people aren't. And so he tells us not to judge one another in this, and not to make any big deal about it. So the Bible doesn't necessarily say anything about Christmas or celebrating Jesus' birth. It does talk about celebrating and remembering his death in Acts chapter 20, verse 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through the end of the chapter. And also wanted to make mention of observance of any kind of special days. There's Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, as well as Romans chapter 14. Really, you could read the whole chapter that's kind of talking about liberties or whatever, but specifically in terms of the days, it's Romans 14, verses 5 through 8. Thank you so much for that question. That's an interesting question. I had a couple of discussions last week with multiple people about that same thing. So we appreciate that, and you're probably not the only one who was thinking of that. 308-9564 is the number here at the station to call in your question. 308-9564. The lines are open and available. We have both lines open. Please go ahead and call in your question, or you can text in your question. The text line is 725-9283. 725-9283. Or you can call in your question. Go ahead. Lines are open. 308-9564. 308-9564.
I've just noticed the number of calls that are going to the operator standing by. And so by chance, if you're happening to try to get through and you can't get through, if the line is busy, then just understand that other people are talking at the same time. So go ahead and call. Just hang up and then wait a moment or two and then hit redial on your phone and you'll be able to get through to the operator standing by. And that number is 553-5157. And that is for the free DVD and the Bible correspondence course that we are offering. We offer this Bible correspondence course every week because there are literally thousands of you that have benefited from this. And we are glad to be able to send this to you week after week. And there are many of you, hundreds of you, that are actively involved in multiple courses of study through the mail. And so those of you that have received this free of charge, I'm amazed sometimes that you might not have heard how to do this or understand. It's not just something that you receive in the mail. You get it in the mail, of course, but then you're supposed to read it and study it, fill it out, and then send it back to us with it filled out, wherein we will grade it and then send you that graded lesson along with the next lessons to go along with it. And then you fill those out, you study it and fill out the answers, and then we're able to fill those out or grade those and send those back as well. And so that's the process on which the correspondence course works. And so don't fail to go through and study these things, and we will be glad to, send this all to you free of charge. We are thrilled about this. We only have one line available, but if you want to go ahead and call and let the phone ring, you can go ahead and call 308-9564. Don't miss out on getting your question in, or you can text us at 725-9283. I believe we have a live caller by the name of
Linda. Linda, are you there? How can we help you?
How can we help you?
Well, I had an incident over the holidays where an adult grown child announced that they were considering divorce. And my question is, what does the Bible say in relation to, sharing your faith, and you know that divorce is the wrong thing, but at the same time, how are you supportive of your child when they're going through that kind of a trauma?
Well, that's a good question. And usually I approach that, Linda, the same way that we approach it here on this radio program. And that is, we have no authority whatsoever as human beings. God has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so I will share with them what the Bible says after I know that they respect what God says in His Word. If they do not have a respect for God and His Word, then I will again tell them what the Bible says. I just won't tell them that it came from the Bible. Does that make sense?
It certainly does.
Because God's Word is always the roadmap that we should be following, whether we respect Him or not. There are many school systems that build up a standard of moral teaching in their school system, but they're forbidden to point out that this really came from the Bible, which there's nothing wrong with that because it certainly does improve the school system. But the truth of the matter is God's plan is perfect always. And so we should try to honor God, but if that will actually close the door to someone, we don't have to point out, well, really this information came from God because they don't respect Him to begin with. But the truth is still the truth.
And then how do you relate to the child so that they are still, not feeling rejected or unloved by the parent that has the truth?
Well, we're supposed to love them. We can love even though the child may be doing things to disappoint the parent. I used an illustration earlier today. If a 5-year-old child out in the yard, he sees this giant anthill that has been created, and he thought, well, you know, that looks just like a volcano. You know, I think I will go and poke my hand down the middle of it and make a volcano out of it. Would we stop that child from doing that?
Sure.
Yeah, even though that they would be really wanting to do that, still, because we love that child, we will do everything we can to prevent them from having such a traumatic experience as that. And
right.
So it is with life's decisions that we might make.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, Linda, for calling in, and thank you for your question.
All righty.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind. Oh, it's time for us to take a break. Before we go to the next question, we want you to know that this is a live broadcast. This is the last 30-minute segment, so don't miss out on getting the Bible material. We have a free Bible correspondence course and a DVD that we want to send to you free of charge. By the way, when you get the course, fill it out, study it. Learn from what God says in His Word. And not just learn it with your head, learn it with your heart and practice it with your feet to put it into action so that we might be able to consider the day when we stand before Him as a day of victory. So let's let God not only let us not only learn what God thinks, what he feels, what he wants us to do, but let's please him and honor him by doing what he says. And so the only way to do that is to know what he says to begin with. So go ahead and enroll. It is free. We'll never ask for a handout. I believe the Linda that we just had on the line, she can verify that as well, that we will never ask for a handout in any way, form, or fashion. It is our honor to be able to give you the treasure from God's Word. So don't miss out on that. The number for the operator standing by is 553-5157. But if you just have a question, go ahead and call us right now here at the station, 308-9564. Or if you have a text line or a cell phone, text us. You can do that at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are honored that you are listening, that you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. We are so pleased that you have taken out time on your Sunday afternoon to be able to learn from God in his Word. We're not God. I know that. We're just conveying to you what the Bible says to the questions that are on your mind. And so don't miss out on asking your questions. The lines are now available, 308-9564. I think we have three questions here before you, but go ahead and call in your question so that it can get answered before the end of the broadcast. 308-9564, that is the verbal line. If you would rather text us, you can do that at 725-9283. Chuck, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a texter texting in this question that says, I could not find, he references that he couldn't find a lot about this person, and it says to please give a historical background of King Melchizedek. Well, Texter, I got to admit something, don't have a lot about. You said you couldn't find a lot about Melchizedek, neither could we, and neither could the Jews, neither could the Jews back then. Melchizedek is only mentioned in the, he's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 14, but it's not a lot given about him. In Genesis chapter 14, this is Abraham returning home, returning from the slaughter of the kings, when it was four kings against five, in the first part of chapter 14 in Genesis. And then we see here his run-in with Melchizedek in verse 18. It says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. So Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tenth of all. So Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all. And then we have other times mentioned in Melchizedek is mentioned in Psalms, but there's no. Context or background about Melchizedek mentioned in the Psalms. All these talking about, it was a kind of a messianic type passages that say you are high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And then we get all the way to the book of Hebrews. In the Hebrews, the letter to the Hebrews, we don't know who the Hebrew writer was, but we know it was penned by the Holy Spirit. We don't know who the Holy Spirit inspired to write it, but the letter to the Hebrews was written to these Jewish Christians who were having trouble getting away from the things of the old law. And he mentions Melchizedek here a couple times in chapter 5, but in chapter 7 he starts off about Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of peace. And so those first chapters, you can look at chapter 7, but mainly there is no big historical background about Melchizedek, but we know he was a high priest, and the difference between Melchizedek was most of the high priests and back in that time were coming through the lineage of the tribe of Levites, and you could always trace that lineage up. With Melchizedek, you couldn't trace Melchizedek's lineage, and that's what made Melchizedek's lineage of being high priest greater than that of the Levites, and that's why Jesus is in the lineage of the priesthood of Melchizedek. You can't trace it. You can't, without father, without mother, and having neither beginning of days nor end of life. So he remains a high priest of God forever. The high priest of God would be the one who offers, he's the go-between, mediator. He offers the blessings for us through God. So that high priest, Jesus is high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, and meaning King of Salem, King of Peace. So that was Hebrews chapter 7 would explain that about Melchizedek. I believe we have a lot. Thank you for your question. I believe we have a live caller.
Yes, we have Lee standing by. Lee, are you there? Lee?
Yes,
how can we help you?
Yes, I'm asking a question, a comment. As Christian historians and Bible researchers, we came to conclusion that Christ was not born in December during the winter months. It was more like in September or October.
Could have been.
Why are we still celebrating December?
Well, I'm not. I hope you're not either, Ben, since you said that. But yeah, there are people, the world has, and it goes all the way back to the Catholic Church. They decided to implement that. The Lord never told us to do that, and so you're exactly right. Odds are it was probably springtime or the fall when that took place. Simply, we base that upon the shepherds were still out in the field.
Yeah, that's Luke chapter 2,
exactly.
Verse 1 and verse 8.
So. Yeah, so there's just no precedence for that. But to some people, that doesn't care. I'm just going to celebrate it anyway. So, but faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. So we're going to try to stick with the Word of God.
Wow, okay. A lot of primitive churches, I mean, Christian religions, they still celebrate and know this.
Yes.
I just don't understand. How can they celebrate that and not be contradictory to their purpose?
Because they do not respect the Bible as the sole, S-O-L-E, authority. And as long as they can come up with anything that they want, then they will continue to invent things. And so whatsoever is not of faith is sin, it brings out in the Bible as well. And so we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So we've got to establish everything by God's word if we're going to be pleasing to him. And so if we know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, James 4 and verse 17 says. So there's a lot of verses that show that you're exactly right there. We've got to be careful not to go beyond what God says. One more passage, Galatians 1, verse 8 and 9. There, a curse is even announced upon someone that teaches something different than what was taught back then. Thank you. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you.
You have another question?
Yeah.
Okay,
should
go ahead.
We celebrate Christmas during the time that we think it should be, like in September, October?
Jesus never told us to do that.
Alone?
Now, in essence, we're to celebrate Christ every week, but not his birth. We're supposed to celebrate his death. The saints gather together every week on the first day of the week, which we call Sunday according to our calendar, and that's the day that we are to celebrate Christ, and we are to commune with him. And that time, that happens 52 times a year. And so hopefully you did. And as well as us, we remember Christ's death and burial and resurrection 52 times a year on the first day of the week. We literally commune or have fellowship, meet with God, and remember what he did for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And so that's something that the Lord would have us to do.
Thank you for your information.
Thank you, Lee, very much. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are now available. We've got several questions we're going to try to speed up on and get to. But please don't give up on us. We're going to try to get to all these questions before the end of the broadcast today. Let me answer one more question here. Says, I've been in a sexless marriage for 10 years. What does the Bible say about that? Well, caller, I understand why you didn't give your name, but here's what God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 brings out exactly what should be done. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about our relationship, and it says, let the husband render to the wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife unto her husband. The wife does not have authority over his or her own body, and nor does the husband. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except it be with consent, for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So there's what God says, and if the family is built by God's design, then that's the way we will behave in that avenue of marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, I believe it is verse 2, it says, let the bed, the marriage bed, be undefiled. And so there again, we've got to make certain that we are building our home after God's design. Making certain I give you the right reference. Hebrews chapter it's verse 3. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 3. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. And thank you so much for your question. But it does not, let me go ahead and add this, it does not give you a right to divorce. There's no right given for divorce just because of that. There's nothing in the Bible about that. You're to work through that and hopefully build your family according to God's design. Thank you for your question. Next question.
Yeah, we have Ben calling in this question about Psalms 37, explaining how would you delight yourself in the Lord. And their question is on Psalms 37, that's verse 4, that says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, there's a lot of popular usages of this passage, and people usually kind of take it out of context, I hate to say. But however, if we keep it in context, we notice that this delighting yourself in the Lord, that is delighting yourself in the things of the Lord. That means those things that, like, a believer, Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, those love, joy, peace, those things. We delight ourselves in spiritual things, heavenly things. Colossians 3 says, seek those things above, not on things which are of the earth. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3, as well as Galatians 5 towards the end of the chapter. I believe it's 17 and following. So those things of the Spirit, we delight ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. Not because the desires of our heart are so great, but the desires of our heart changes. Those things change. Those desires change to spiritual things and not earthly things. So it's not we delight ourselves in the Lord and he gives us these earthly things. We delight ourselves in the Lord, and those earthly things we used to like, they turn to spiritual things that we now, those spiritual things that we now desire. So thank you for that question, Ben. Once again, that was Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and Galatians 5, towards the end of the chapter, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It is time for us to take our last break. We got a couple of questions we're going to be kind of going through. The questions are piling up, so we are going to be trying to get through them as best we can. But still, go ahead and call in your questions. 308-9564 is the question line. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we're glad that you have joined us. We please note that you've only got this last segment, 15 minutes, to be able to enroll in this course and get the Bible Correspondence course. So get that in the mail coming to you tomorrow, and we'll also throw in a DVD, the last chance for this year to be able to send it to you. So don't miss out on that. Again, that number is 553-5157. The course is free. We will never ask for a handout. It is an absolute blessing that we might be able to give to you. So don't miss out on this. Fill it out and study it. Whether it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you will learn things from God's Word through this course that you may have never seen before. So make certain there's no surprises on Judgment Day. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. We have heard before. And that's true in God's Word, too. Ignorance of what God says is no excuse on the Judgment Day, but then it'll be too late to correct your path. So wouldn't it be best to correct it right here and now? Learn what God says so that we can be victorious when we meet him face to face one day. That number, again, is 553-5157. Get the course, and we will let the Bible speak through that. Okay, we're going to rush through these questions best we can, so get your pencil ready to write down the answers. Chuck?
Yeah, this question, Lisa calls in and says, is it okay to have a glass of wine with dinner? We see here specifically about wine, it's talked about in 1 Timothy, where Paul tells Timothy, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and for your frequent infirmities. Where he tells Timothy that, but whenever we give that verse, I also like to preference Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, that says, do not be drunk with wine, wherein excess or in dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So we should not drink in excess. We should not drink to feel a buzz or to or to get any kind of different feeling about ourselves. So as far as having a glass of wine with dinner, we're not told specifically that it's wrong. As a matter of fact, like I said, we see in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 23 is where Paul tells Timothy use a little wine for his stomach's sake and his frequent infirmities. But we preface that, of course, with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 that says, do not be drunk with wine, we're in excess, so not giving too much. Thank you for that question, Lisa.
Yes, remember the number here is 308-9564. We have one line available, so go ahead and let it ring when you call, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Lou calling in, says, want to learn more about Enoch. Where is it at in the Bible? Well, his life is referred to in Genesis chapter 5, and how that he lived 65 years and begot Methuselah, and then shortly after that, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for he was taken, or God took him. He's one of two individuals that never died. This is also referenced in Hebrews 11 in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a ministry that he pleased God. In the Old Testament, walked with God. In Hebrews 11, pleased God. He's also referenced in Jude 1 and verse 14. And so, Lou, I hope that's helpful to you. Jude 1:14, Hebrews 11:5, and Genesis chapter 5, you'll see more about Enoch. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. We have Rosa calling in this question. She wants to know about Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. And that is a passage talking about giving, and it's a principle. It's all the way through the Bible. It's in the Proverbs. It's all the way in the Old Testament that God tells us to be generous and giving. And even here in Luke, he brings out through inspiration that if we are this kind of giver and that sharing of our wealth with others, it says give and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your bosom, for with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And so it is. This passage is often referenced in churches trying to get people to give more and more and more, and trying to get people to think, well, if I give, then I'm going to get. And so their motivation is give in order to give, get. And that should never be our motivation. We should give because we love and because we care about that cause or that individual. It is not a matter of getting something, because if we ask, James chapter 1 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it to your own selfish reasons. And so if we do that, then God will not bless that. That will not be a principle that will be pleasing to him at all. And so we've got to make certain of our motives to where that we are not going to miss the blessing associated with it. Thank you so much, Rose. We sure do appreciate it. Chuck, you have another question?
Yeah, Grant calls in this question, and his question is based on Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, and he asks the question, will we be judged? Will we be judged? Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15 is where his question comes from. I won't take the time to read that. However, in response to the question, will we be judged? Yes, we absolutely will be judged. Romans chapter 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. And then that was Romans 14, 12. And then we have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. And then also Hebrews 9:27 that says, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So we definitely will be judged by God for the things we do in the body, whether good or bad. Specifically, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 10 and 11. Mainly verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 10, Romans 14, 12, and Hebrews 9, 27. Thank you for that, Grant.
We are so glad that you've joined us today. The number again, we have time for one more question if you call right now. 308-9564. Go ahead and call 308-9564 or text us at 725-9283. We want everyone to know that we're trying to show ourselves approved unto God. And so if you are interested in pleasing God, then why not do what God says to be pleasing to Him? The only way to do that is to study His Word, learn what God says. There are so many churches today that do not teach the whole plan of how to get into Christ. In Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, it speaks of all the blessings that are in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're not redeemed. You're not adopted. You're not part of God's plan. You have not received the spiritual blessings. Well, how do we get into Christ? Well, that involves not only belief, which is necessary, but the devil believes. Not only repentance added to that, not only confession, because even the demons confess their faith in Him, but it also involves being baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death?" That's how we get into Christ. If you have not been able to be baptized into Christ, then why not today? Why not let today be your birthday to start this new year in Christ, and you can be one of His children? I know many of you have listened throughout the years to us, and you've heard us mention this many times, and you have delayed for some reason or another. Why continue the delay? Why risk it? We do not know what will be on tomorrow, for tomorrow may be like a vapor that never comes. And so let's make certain that we are going to be showing ourselves approved to you or to God. And we need to make certain of that. The number is 308-9564. I doubt we can get to your question today, but we will do our best. Here is one more question. Chuck, you've got it?
Yeah, Brenda's question is, what is the Sabbath and when is it? Well, the Sabbath, that was Old Testament practice. We live under the New Testament. We don't observe Sabbaths anymore. However, just to answer your question, Sabbath just means rest. Sabbath just means rest. It was a day where people rested. They didn't work, and they worshiped God. And that was on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, which was the day of rest. But once again, let me preface that by saying that's Old Testament practice, and we live under the New Testament. We do not practice observances of Sabbath. So that's the answer to the question, Brendan.
And we have one more question. Greg called in this question. Explain righteousness as it pertained to Abraham's bargaining with God over how many were going to be in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to be able to redeem them from the destruction they received. And it would be those that are right in God's sight, those that are serving Him with their whole heart, the same as it is today. That's also explained in Romans chapter 4 and elaborated on that, how that Abraham was righteous and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Galatians 3, there's many other places. But now the righteousness is what God gives. It is not what we deserve. We deserve eternal separation from God. We deserve eternal condemnation. We deserve to spend eternity in the fires of hell. That's what we've earned. The wage of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, or in Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you in Christ? Have you done everything necessary to be in Christ? If you have not, then why delay? Today can be your birthday to be born of water and of spirit. You can do just exactly what they did in Acts 2 and verse 38 when they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Have your sins washed away, just like Paul, in the watery grave of baptism in Romans, in Acts 22 and verse 16. That's what Paul was told to do after praying and fasting for 3 days. He still had to be baptized to wash away his sins. My friends, we've come to the end of our broadcast today. We are so thankful that you have joined us to look into the Bible, to see what God says, and that you have a hunger for that. Please do not neglect this very important subject. As we enter this next year, make it a year of righteous service to God. What we need to do in every area of our life is we need to let the Bible speak.
Allow me.